Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charleston's only locally owned and operated chain.
Today,
they operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. The Wake Up Call is also brought to you by
an information filled show.
Who really know the news on Newsstand Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
We are going to be talking about the University of Virginia, the Board of Visitors versus Teresa Sullivan compact. I don't know. There's just so much going on. The fight, the brutal battle. Our guest today, Hawes Spencer, editor of The Hook. Good morning, Hawes.
Good morning, Rick.
And we have Matt Cameron, Cavalier Daily Editor-in-Chief.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. All right, guys, we're going to jump right into it. For those people who are listening because they're full of the information, stay tuned for just about a minute or two. Hawes is going to catch us up sort of on the timeline for those who are only reading the headlines. Hawes, fire away.
Okay, and it's thanks to my cohort, Matt, here, that we know a lot of this stuff because his organization, the Cavalier Daily, filed the very first Freedom of Information request. And it revealed what was going on in late May and early June when UVA Rector Helen Dragas and Vice Rector Mark Kington were swapping newspaper and magazine articles as well as a YouTube video to kind of convince each other how important it is to launch online classes, and using a doctor's speech to the Williams College graduating class to make sudden directional shifts when they determine that there's a whiff of failure in the air. On Thursday, June 7th, Dragas writes to President Sullivan, "Mark and I will both be in Charlottesville tomorrow and would appreciate a meeting with you." The president asks if she can prepare anything. Friday, June 8th, making representations about the Board of Visitors supporting their move, Dragas and Kington deliver their blow to the president. June 9th, Saturday, Sullivan caves to their demand and agrees to proclaim a philosophical difference. June 10th, Sunday, Kington and Dragas recruit Hunter Craig, the sole Charlottesville-based member of the Board of Visitors Executive Committee, to create a three-person quorum to accept the resignation. Dragas and Kington hold a press conference on the steps of Madison Hall. Later, Kington emails Dragas, "I am proud to serve with you." June 11th, Monday. After receiving talking points from Dragas the previous day, various deans begin releasing a smattering of "we're surprised but we'll survive" emails. June 12th, Tuesday. Like the famous Rosetta Stone from world history, a leaked email reveals aspects of this project. Released by the Richmond Times-Dispatch, the culpability-grabbing missive from then-Darden Foundation Chair Peter Kiernan proclaims that he was recruited by two important Virginia alums, that the effort has the support and assent of the governor, and the unforgettable line, "Trust me, Helen has things well in hand." June 13th, Wednesday. The Hook's first major report connects certain threads, including the Darden connection of Kiernan, Dragas, and Kington, into an article headlined "Cabal Hall" or "Cabal Hall." June 14th, Thursday, Peter Kiernan resigns from the Darden board via a letter whose reading by the dean at a Darden town hall meeting gets met with applause. June 15th, Friday. In a candid interview, former UVA President Robert O'Neill criticizes the ouster and explains how smoothly his own 1989 non-renewal from the top job went for him, for UVA, and for the free speech organization that he continues to run to this day. June 16th, Saturday, immediate past president John Casteen is named as a protester. The American Association of University Professors launches an investigation of possible governance violations. And in a Hook exclusive, sources reveal that billionaire hedge fund manager Paul Tudor Jones, the man behind the John Paul Jones Arena, was involved in the ouster. Less than a day later, a self-described elated Paul Tudor Jones gushes in the Sunday Morning Daily Progress op-ed, "The spirit of Thomas Jefferson, the first rector of the University of Virginia, is cheering this action by the Board of Visitors." June 17th, Sunday. The Faculty Senate holds an open meeting to confirm their no-confidence vote in the Board of Visitors. And the university spokesperson reveals that the president, supposedly on the job, President Sullivan, supposedly on the job until August 15th, has already been stripped of her supervisory roles, and that several key employees have already been ordered to instead report directly to Rector Dragas. June 18th, Monday. On the day that Rector Dragas was revealed to have hired Hill and Knowlton Strategies to manage information during the crisis, the Faculty Senate's Executive Committee calls for the reinstatement of Sullivan, for the resignation of Dragas, and the appointment of a faculty member to the board. Walking through a crowd of about 3,000 people on the lawn on her way to address the Board of Visitors, Sullivan evokes cheers and tears. June 19th, a Tuesday. The day dawns mere hours after an 11-hour board meeting taps McIntyre Dean Carl Zeithammel as interim president. A few individuals shouting shame and resign follows Rector Dragas to her car at 3 a.m. Later in the day, an esteemed computer science professor resigns in protest, and the former governor who appointed Dragas to the board, Tim Kaine, begins criticizing the process. June 20th, Wednesday. Interim President-elect Carl Zeithammel denounces both the decision and the process of sacking Sullivan. The Dragas-Kington emails released the previous evening by the Cavalier Daily provoke a new round of outrage. June 21, Thursday. The 10 invited deans, McIntyre Dean Zeithammel wasn't asked, all call for Sullivan's reinstatement. The United for Honor Facebook page tops 12,500 members. And then this jaw-dropper. Three members of the BOV call for a meeting Tuesday to vote on reinstating Sullivan. June 22nd, Friday. Citing the groundswell of support for Sullivan and the Board of Visitors' call for a reinstatement vote, interim president-select Zeithammel returns to the deanship of the McIntyre School of Commerce. Governor McDonnell says he'll fire the entire board if they can't close the matter and unify. 5 days after Democratic delegate David Toscano urged reinstatement, Republican lawmakers issue similar messages. June 23rd, Saturday, yesterday. A day so calm that it may have seemed the only thing close to news were the accidental broadcast of a pro-Sullivan video by trapped-in-place university spokesperson Carol Wood, a woman now forced to report to Dragas, and the standing ovation that President Sullivan received at last night's performance of 1776, the musical at Heritage Theater Festival. But then the members of UVA's Council of Foundations revealed that they, too, have joined the near-unanimous call to reinstate Sullivan.
It's amazing here as we're going to spend our hour talking about this. The topic remains the same, but the headlines changing. Like it's just amazing how quickly the wind has brought in a new sort of headline every day as we talk about President Sullivan and the battle for her job, even though really in many ways she's not the person doing the battling. Again, our guest today, that was Haw Spencer, editor at The Hook. We have Matt Cameron, Cavalier Daily, editor-in-chief, 1111 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Give us a few more minutes. We'll start accepting phone calls as we give our two guests a chance to talk about the topic. Let me thank the folks at Richmond's 103.1 for listening and Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports celebrating 40 years as your local one-stop source for outdoor gear, apparel, and footwear. As the heat of summer settles in, you can stay cool with Blue Ridge's selection of quick-dry shirts, board shorts, sandals, and flip-flops. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville, two locations in Richmond. For more store information online, brms.com. Hawes, thanks for catching us up. But Matt, quick question to you. On June 8th, 9th, and 10th, sort of a key plays come out where President Sullivan is told that she going to be fired if she doesn't turn in her resignation, which she does, and then the three-person vote takes place. And then I'm not sure whether it's 10th or 11th. Hawes just gave us that information where, what's his name, Darden Schools Foundation Chair Peter Kiernan. Do we get any of this sort of major fiasco to the level that it is if he does not hit reply all when he sends that email to everyone sort of bragging about what a key player he is and what has just happened?
I think that was a catalyst for a lot of the outrage, Rick. People at first were really just confused because no one saw this coming. It really came out of the blue. And I think people still would have been calling for more information, but the thing that really sets people on edge is just the fact that it seemed there was this small group of sort of elite figures behind the scene that were calling the shots here. And I think it would have been possible, had that email not been leaked, for Dragas to probably come out and offer more information that would have at least settled things down, so that way maybe the press wasn't so eager to dig and find more. And that was, you know, Kiernan's email, for example, was what prompted us to file the Freedom of Information request. We saw that there was this one email out there that had some juicy information, and we figured, well, there's probably a lot more where that came from. So there you go.
Well done, by the way. Many people from other media folks, Hawes Spencer from The Hook, I know The Washington Post made commentary. Katie Couric, I read or heard, gave you guys a big round of applause for doing this. And thank you to those of us fascinated by this topic. Hawes, again, I can list hundreds, it seems like, of sort of headlines in some rough manner that I saw across the Hook. The difference between business folks and academic folks, do you see that as what this topic is all about still, even several days later?
To some degree, that's true. In a private business, it's considered fine to unceremoniously oust the chief executive. But a university is an entire different being altogether. A university is owned by the state and thereby its citizens. And it answers not just to this board, which in this case has determined that it alone is in control, but it answers to a lot of other constituencies, not the least of whom are the taxpayers, as I just mentioned, but also people like the faculty, the students, the alumni. And this afternoon, we're gonna get a sense of alumni outrage. I think we're hearing reports already that alums are driving in from all over the state and from further to express their solidarity, not just for one person, but for the idea that the University of Virginia stands for. This is not U.S. Steel or Exxon, where the people who may have a stake in it will tolerate behavior as we've seen. This is a university that was founded by Thomas Jefferson, and the principles that the university stands for include concepts of honor and an understanding of the importance of an education. And when people see what they think of as a coup d'etat by a small group of people who have thus far declined to state very convincing reasons, they understandably are upset.
By the way, I feel like I should come forth. I am a two-time graduate of UVA. I have picked my sides personally. I don't know that that's – I'll try and do my best to be to explain both sides, or at least ask questions about both sides as we go forward through the hour with our guests, Matt Cameron from Cavalier Daily, Hawes Spencer from The Hook.
You know, it's interesting. We always do look for both sides as journalists. I'm sure Matt does. But I've never before witnessed an incident where the supposed other side has been so paltry.
It seems very incremental in finding the number of people or the letters that have been written or anything like that.
Matt maybe can set me straight, but I did see a letter early on in the Cavalier Daily from an alum who said, you know, what took him so long or something to that effect. Did I read that in the Cavalier Daily?
We've had a few comments along those lines on our articles.
Oh, maybe
I'm not sure if we've had any actual letters submitted, because I agree that there's just been an overwhelming consensus towards one side. And, you know, that's something that, we as journalists struggle with, is you want to try and represent both sides. But when there's, you know, there are no counter protests, there's nobody writing in with opinion pieces that are, you know, pro BOV. I think we did have one that was, you know, slightly in favor of it.
And you don't know if these times, by the way, callers, give us a few more minutes. I see the phone ringing, but give us a little more time. We will start taking calls in, you know, closer to 11:30, but let's give our guests time to talk about this fascinating topic. I saw a picture somewhere. I can't tell you who, because I've been reading, you know, The Hook, The Cavalier Daily, Waldo Jakethwist sites, Washington Post. There's just so many places to go with so many links. But someone had a photo of the incredible stack of papers represented, each one representing a letter written to representing various alumni where they were written to, that seemed to be huge. It was in comparison to a Jefferson Cup. So, again, do you guys know where I saw that picture? Was it on somebody's particular site?
I don't think
on The Hook or the Cavalier Daily?
I don't think we had it either.
I mean, you're absolutely right. It's just the one side, and I think this is what's irked a lot of people, is that the side that's trying to, I guess, explain or defend the BOV's decision, it's really premised on the idea that they know what's best, and the rhetoric has been that people just need to trust in their decision making. And in some settings, in some cultures, that type of argument can work. But in a university setting where it's entirely premised on free inquiry and sort of back and forth discussion and openness, that's not going to fly. And that's why I think you've seen so much outrage at the way this was handled.
All right, 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley, mostly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m. today. Highs 85 plus, slight chance of showers between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Tonight, and then mostly cloudy otherwise, lows 65 to 70. Chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow before 5 p.m., highs 85 to 90. Right now, it's fair in the valley and 79, 80 in Lynchburg, 83 in Richmond, 85 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today coming from L. Oppelman's, Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, and violins, as well as electric guitar packages from Fender and Peavey. They also have complete drum sets. That's L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg, and at loppelman.com. And again, I'm going to do this throughout the hour. Hey, did I read that there? Did I read that there? Somebody talked about whether or not this was a political issue, because the Democratic side of our delegates had come forth taking their stand with Ms. Sullivan days and maybe a week or two before the Republican side. Is that true? Do you feel that there's a part of that to it, rather than just fairness or not, but political?
It's tough to say. I think probably since the Republicans right now have more control in terms of holding the legislature, holding the governor's office, they're the ones who ultimately have to make the decisions. So they, I think, are going to be a little bit more hesitant in coming out and, you know, opposing the Board of Visitors, because, again, when you're in power like that, you don't want to rock the boat. The Democrats, though, probably sensed an opportunity to put a little pressure on these players, the power figures on the other side of the political aisle. And I guess it's been effective because you saw that McDonald had to issue a statement on Friday, although what that actually meant, I guess, remains to be seen.
Well, Spencer from The Hook, your thoughts on that?
I don't have any additional thoughts. I mean, right now, the fact is that the Democrats got out early in denouncing this action, and the Republicans took longer. Maybe they were just busy in their garden. I don't know. I'm serious. I don't know.
So you're just reporting the news, not necessarily determining where the decisions were made from their actions.
You know, Rob Bell told one of our reporters on Friday, she said, you know, hey, what's up with you waiting a while? And he said, she informed him that some have suggested that the Republican reticence may have made the controversy a partisan issue. And he said, I don't think so. Are people saying that? So, like I said, they might have just been busy and thought it was a university matter that would blow over. I'm not going to attempt to get into their brain.
Yeah, that seems like somebody who is on vacation and choosing not to read the paper or use their electronics during their time away from work. So the big vote is Tuesday, right? There's a rally today at 2 o'clock. As you mentioned, people, alums driving in or somehow coming forward to participate actively rather than just papers, not to mean that the letters, et cetera, aren't meaningful. But today at 2 o'clock, there's a rally on the lawn to step forth and show the numbers. At 2 p.m., I believe. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, 2 p.m.
Matt Cameron from Cavalier Daily. And then Tuesday is the big vote as to what the decision will be with President Sullivan. Do either of you have thoughts on what the indecision might be?
I mean, I personally think that for them to have called the meeting, they would have to be very close or probably already have 8 votes lined up to reappoint her. I don't know why they would go through the trouble of coming back to Charlottesville, risking being mobbed by, you know, angry protesters again, like Dragas was after Monday's powwow. It seems like they would have to be fairly, you know, certain that they were going to move in that direction. Now, things can change, and you know, one thing that I think people aren't talking about enough is that the consensus behind wanting Sullivan reappointed isn't quite as strong as it may seem. Lots of people have come out in support of clarity and asking for the Board of Visitors to give more information. And you've seen the Faculty Senate and the deans now call for Sullivan's reinstatement, but student government groups haven't done it yet. Politicians haven't done it yet. The interim president, or the future interim president, Carl Zeithaml, whatever you want to call him at this point, hasn't called for reinstatement. They've all said they want the board to meet, come to a final decision, and they want it to be an open and honest one where information is conveyed transparently. But that leaves it open-ended for some other outcome that doesn't involve Sullivan being reappointed.
And that's what, and I feel like I fall into this group, not knowing enough about online education and where the university stands in many ways, but that's what many of us have said. I'm not necessarily upset with the why, it's the how that it was done. Hawes, with the feedback that's been given to The Hook, both with the commentaries, I can't even keep up with the commentaries on the articles, but whether it's what you see and hear on site, Hawes Spencer, the guy who does everything with with the photos, writing the articles, publishing the paper, you know, are you hearing that it's more about the way it was done and the lack of clarity, or she's such a great person, we should keep her here?
I'm hearing both, but I think that if I were hearing one more than the other, it's the process thing. That the part I alluded to earlier, where there are various different groups that believe that they have a voice at the University of Virginia, and to watch a small group of people circumvent the normal procedures, which entail convening the entire board and having a discussion whether it's behind closed doors or not, at least it might have had the whole board. But what we've learned in this case is that Kington and Dragas, the rector and vice rector, simply conspired. I'm sorry to use that verb, but conspired amongst themselves to put together this deal and then present it as a fait accompli to the president, and telling her that the support wasn't there for her, and pushing her into resigning. And that's really not the way the board of rectors is supposed to be governed. And moreover, if they lied to her, that could be a violation of employment law. If they attempted to circumvent open government law by conducting these one-on-one meetings with other members of the board, that could be a legal violation as well. And we haven't had a ruling on that by an attorney or a member of the State House, but when you have potential illegality, that raises a very serious question about who's running the show and what their objectives are.
11:28 on the wake-up call, talking about the current topic here in Charlottesville, which seems to be the only topic here in Charlottesville, of UVA President Teresa Sullivan and the actions by the University of Virginia's Board of Visitors as to her, Teresa Sullivan's, future here at the university. 11:28 on the wake-up call. Let me take a moment and thank Dixon Disposal for their support. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com or call them 434-978-2111. All right, we had a caller who's been on hold for quite some time now. I will open up the phone lines. 979-0919. That's 979-0919. Toll free if you need it. 877-WNRN-ROCKS. And let's see. Bonnie, did you hang on?
I am right here.
Hi, Bonnie. Bonnie from Sismont, right down the road from Helen Dragas.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I'm not here to speak about either Helen Dragas or Teresa Sullivan. What I think our wake-up call is about the honor code. Obviously, the individuals who, quote, conspired to have this coup have forgotten the honor code. I was born and raised in this area, and in every elementary school classroom, the honor code was over the blackboard. Our children who have been raised in this area have grown up with this. And it is tantamount that the honor code extend throughout the faculty, staff, the Board of Visitors, and the students. I believe that the Honor Council should have a seat on the Board of Visitors. The Student Council should have a seat on the Board of Visitors. Each school should have a seat on the Board of Visitors. And everyone associated with the university, in the pay or in a volunteer position, I don't know if the Board of Visitors gets a stipend or not, I don't know. But I think that we all need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and remember where our integrity is. And if you've been to the university, or if you were raised here and went to any of the schools around Charlottesville and Albemarle County, we all remember and know and live by, or should live by, the Honor Code. And Teresa Sullivan has not broken her integrity. Her integrity stands like a flag. Whether or not she's the right person to be at the helm, I don't know. Whether or not the Board of Visitors are the right people to be in their positions, I don't know. All I know is that it seems to me, what my visceral response to this whole thing, and I followed it from the beginning, was, oh my God, there's been an honor violation. And then I'm told, oh, no, that's only for the students. Well, if that's only for the students.
Hey, Helen, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You said
Bonnie's
that.
Bonnie's her name.
Oh, sorry, Bonnie. Thank you very much. You said that Helen has not broken the honor code, or still.
I don't know whether she has or not. I don't know if there's anything actionable that she's done.
All right, that's what I wanted to catch Remy. Hawes, you got a comment on that?
Well, yeah. Following up on what you had asked me a moment ago, Rick, and part of what Bonnie seems to be alluding to is, I'm looking at the manual of the Board of Visitors right now, and they actually have a special provision on how the president is supposed to be elected. And it says really clearly, it's section 4.21 of their manual, the president may be removed only by assent of 2/3 of the whole number of visitors.
Oh my.
Now, we know that she voluntarily resigned, but I'm hearing from folks who are saying that there may have been coercion and deception in conveying what the exact nature of the board's position on her presidency was. And if that's the case, it certainly throws her decision to resign into a whole new light.
Hey, Bonnie, thanks for the call.
You bet. Good luck.
All right. That was Bonnie from Sismont, and I appreciate her call reminding people or stating that for many people, the honor code is a big part of this conversation. Hawes Spencer from The Hook, Matt Cameron from the Cavalier Daily. And 979-0919 is now open. But we have Scott here on our toll-free line. Hey, Scott.
Hey, I'll try to make my question brief. Basically, you mentioned the sort of how this happened and kind of why in terms of her personality. But I guess what I'm thinking is 3 months from now, we'll either have President Sullivan or we'll have somebody else. And I think we will still have a basic question that has been sort of uncovered by all this, which has to do with long-term what a prestigious state university will look like, funding sources from the state, and those pressures, which I think this just happened to kind of uncover. So I guess I'd ask you to maybe shift a little bit away from the personality today, and just briefly address what you think, 5 years from now, how that will work out.
All right, off into the future. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, I think, and this is just speaking for myself, but I see the sort of folly in trying to change the way the university operates in such a sudden manner as stemming from the fact that there are so many external forces that are going to determine how the university can maintain its reputation in the coming years that to put it all at the feet of President Sullivan or any one person who may or may not be able to implement more dynamic plans or something of that nature.
Strategic dynamism is the term you're looking for,
exactly.
Matt.
Exactly. Bold action. That's one person's not going to be able to overcome, constant cuts in state funding, the pressures from, increased faculty, the need to raise faculty salaries, the need to pay increased, costs for healthcare, for infrastructure. These things are out of the control of any one person, and to think that by removing Sullivan you're going to automatically solve all of these problems, it seems like an oversight.
We sort of have this image of which side of the war wins, and as though by picking which person you want to see stay after July 1st, as though you can't have both, that's going to determine what we do next. Or what the university does next. And I think, as Scott pointed out, and Matt, you're referring to, is that doesn't solve the question. Whoever you pick on Tuesday and whether or not Ms. Dragas stays and is reappointed July 1st, that doesn't solve the problem that led to the discussion of how does the University of Virginia move forward.
Right. The problem with the university stems from, a decline in its traditional revenue source, which has been, state funding, and increased pressures to add additional students to its enrollment. And those pressures aren't going away regardless of whether you have Teresa Sullivan or Carl Zeithammel or whomever your, pick for the presidential position is. It's not going to change those factors.
11:36 on the wake-up call. Our guest today, Matt Cameron, from Cavalier Daily, Hawes Spencer from The Hook. Phone lines open 979-0919-1877-WNRN Rocks if you need the toll-free. Hotline. We are talking about University of Virginia's current situation, Board of Visitors, President Teresa Sullivan. Guys, have either of you heard about, all these people who are taking a stand, have we heard anything from the secret societies? There's the Seven Society or the Z's or any others. I asked because in a couple of weeks, one of our shows in July, I'll have someone who wrote an article about the history of the secret societies, talking about stories and historical facts. Has any statement been made?
I haven't heard of any statement from those groups.
They haven't painted anything anywhere?
Not that I know of. Of course, Beta Bridge was painted the morning of the BOV's meeting last week, and somebody defaced the rotunda. Hopefully that was not attached to any university entity, but I'm not aware of any organized response from those groups.
Hawes, we had one university professor resign,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Correct.
And Mr. Simon, I can't remember what his actual title.
The provost.
Provost,
who said that he sort of made a threat to resign if things didn't go sort of lean one way or another. And other faculty members sort of made similar suggestions. Has anyone other than the one professor resigned, and have you heard any more about it?
No, I got the sense that all eyes are really on the rotunda at 3 p.m. this Tuesday, that's going to be the deciding moment in this ongoing struggle.
Did it play any role into where we are now? Provost Simon, sort of go into the faculty meeting.
Absolutely, Rick. He had allowed his name to show up on a letter that went out a few days prior that basically said, "Shut up and get back to work." Not, it didn't use that language, but that's how it was interpreted. It was co-authored with the other top executive, the chief operating officer, a guy named Michael Strine, who has been less bold in recent days in supporting the president as some of his cohorts. But his standing up at that faculty senate meeting provoked not one but two standing ovations. And even after he agreed to work with selected interim president Carl Zeithammel, the faculty senate indicated that his stance was quite all right with them because they seemed to have the sense that he was supporting President Sullivan, and given the rapid pace of events these days, it does seem apparent that really to make any further moves before Tuesday might be premature.
11:39 on the Wake Up Call. Our guest today, Matt Cameron from Cavalier Daily, Hawes Spencer from The Hook. We're talking about President Teresa Sullivan and the Board of Visitors news story that's been going on for, I guess, 2 weeks from today, at least in the news.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Market for Tiger Fuels and by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstand Thursday. Here's Rick on what you can find in this week's Hook.
And there is other news in this week's issue aside from UVA's scandalous fiasco. Starlight Express bus service found a new departure location, downtown Charlottesville's X Building. Starlight now plans more frequent services from a better lit space. And Metallica puts the missing Morgan Harrington case back in the spotlight with billboards in 23 states, a YouTube video asking for help, and a reminder of the reward. The Hook, you can handle the truth. And back to our guests, Hawes Spencer from The Hook, Matt Cameron from the Cavalier Daily. I keep seeing the phone ring, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Would love to have your questions or comments on the topic and for our guests. Hawes, is there any other news in the town at the moment? I mean, and I say that sort of in a joking but truthful manner. I visit your website, and I believe that on your website there is a list of articles that you can read, and it's 15 different links to different headlines. Another 15, 12 of them are related to this current topic. There is a recent bit of news on the George Hughley case, which, if you're not paying any attention, you don't even get to hear about. But back in February when you were on the program, that's all anybody was talking about then.
Well, I actually have an opinion on that. The Hughley case, in the grand scheme of things, is dramatically less important than the future of the University of Virginia.
Is that something, is that a decision, how do you make that decision as the editor?
I'm just telling you, that's my personal opinion. Right at this time, there is a clash of ideas surrounding the University of Virginia, and my view is that is infinitely more important than the twists and turns of an unfortunate murder case. Now, if Hughley were to be exonerated, released, executed, or whatever, that would be news. But I'm not going to devote precious resources to covering legal filings and legal briefs that are traded every few weeks in that case, when the eyes of the world are focused on the UVA lawn and rotunda.
And eyes of the world is the proper part of that. I see the phone ringing. Remember, again, phone lines 979-0919 and 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Sounds like a good time now for both of you to, for lack of a better phrase, a certainly more proper phrase, give a shout out to those who have worked with you. I mean, each of you are representing your newspapers. Matt, you asked me if you could have all five members of the Cavalier Daily come on, because everyone had done such a great job. And I know Hawes from Reading the Hook on a regular basis weekly. I have seen a variety of names as writing the article. So, Matt, who's been helping put all this together at Cavalier Daily?
Right. So, you know, it's been funny. We've gotten a lot of emails, and we really appreciate all of the positive feedback, all of the support from the community. But people, I think, have this idea that we're this large group of students, you know, huddled in a newsroom, maybe taking directions from, like, a faculty advisor or something. But it's actually been six of us, really, five people working in the Charlottesville and nearby area, and then one person working from New York, who've pretty much put out all of our coverage. So we have three people right now permanently in Charlottesville. Our executive editor, Aaron Eisen, has been the one authoring the editorials on behalf of the managing board. He's also helped out with tweeting and copy editing. We've had Krista Pedersen, who is just on the ground 24/7 doing the reporting for us. And she was the one who tweeted initially the FOIA emails that we had. And Veronica Manuel, who's a new video reporter that we just took on in the spring, has been out there getting raw, uncut video footage from these press conferences. And, you know, we were the first ones who got footage of Dragas's press conference up after when she made the announcement on Sunday of Sullivan's resignation. So it's been those three in Charlottesville. I've been down in and out of town helping out. And then Charlie Tyson, our assistant managing editor, one of them, has been working from Chapel Hill. And Greg Lewis, our operations manager, has been doing research and tweeting from up in New York. That's been our team. We've been just kind of working around the clock, everybody pitching in, doing what they can, and
great work.
Had fun. Yeah.
Great work. Hawes?
Well, in addition to our team of four, Courtney Stewart, Lisa Province, Dave McNair, and myself, we sent a UVA student who's interning with us this summer up to New York in hopes Thursday, right after the story first broke, to attend a meeting at the Yale Club for UVA alumni. And this was in the earliest days when people were still scratching their heads. But Peter Kiernan, the Darden Foundation chair, was scheduled to speak that night. And so we bought this nice young intern, Andrew Elward is his name, a train ticket, and put him on, you know, he got up on the train, and while he was on the train, I had the unpleasant duty to tell him that the object of his search, Peter Kiernan, had just resigned to the applause at the Darden School, and he made the best of it. He brought back a report of UVA alums scratching their heads in New York City, but at that point they were really still sort of scratching their heads. It's really been thanks to the efforts of people like Matt and his news organization, the Cavalier Daily, and others, that the pieces of this puzzle have come out. And so what initially looked like philosophical differences between a board and its president have really been revealed to be something entirely different and troubling to a lot of people.
Well, great work to both of you and your teams. Call from John in Albemarle. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you this morning, Rick?
A comment or a question for these guys?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I've been following the UVA disaster, and wanted to comment and have a question. You know, I don't think the world sees UVA. It's only around here, Charlottesville, and among the UVA alumnus that it's important to. And, you know, I'm a Hokie fan and graduate, so I don't put as much stock into it.
Well, I think many people would disagree with you. I mean, this is making news around the world. When you get the Washington Post, when you get television shows, not just news shows, reporting on this, I think it has become quite an important case. It's representing public education and the financing that's going on. UVA as a public university is now receiving less than 10% of their
It's only a school, Rick. There are other issues that are more important.
And that's right. It is only a school. But the information that we're talking about is the financing of a school, which will then move into the financing of your roads and the financing of your health services, et cetera. And I think part of this confrontation that's going on is where the money is going and coming from.
We have an $800 billion defense budget this year. That makes UVA look like a drop in the bucket.
And that's right. And part of the problem is determining where you're going to put your drops.
We have a bypass that is not getting coverage that's about to split our community in two. I don't see anybody from UVA coming out and saying anything about that. They are only there when it affects their university. Where's the other coverages at?
Well, I appreciate your point, and I think that's a good point. As people tend to only talk about the things that are most important to them, and whether that's your kids, your family, your house, or your car. And I appreciate that. And that is a good way to put it back in focus for us and for the both of you, for Hawes and Matt. Has this, how is it reaching out? Is it just representative of a school to the alumni who may be around the world, but as media guys, for lack of a better term, are you seeing it more treated in a different way other than just education? Do you see this filtered under different topics?
Well, I mean, the University of Virginia is immensely important to the Charlottesville community. If the university is destabilized as a result of this saga and it becomes less attractive to students and faculty members and eventually it declines in prestige, well, the community is going to feel the ripple effects from that, because the university is a huge source of jobs. It's a huge source of, you know, economic activity.
But is anybody in California going to care? Well, is anybody in Chicago going to care?
I mean,
because I think that's one of John's points is, you know, we can spend all our time talking about it, but it's just a school in Charlottesville and in Virginia. Does it matter beyond that? Is the topic more important?
Well, Rick, I mean, remember when the Tiananmen Square protests were going on a couple of decades ago? One of the symbols that was crushed at that rally was the Statue of Liberty. And my point is that symbolism is important. And when Thomas Jefferson founded this university, he considered it so important that it became one of just the three things that he put on his tombstone. And the symbolism was not just confined to his own personal preferences, but remember, think back to how he designed this university. Every American university up until that point, and pretty much everyone in Europe, every university in Europe, had at its center a church. And Jefferson went in a completely different direction. In fact, one of the ironies to me personally in this whole situation is that the Board of Visitors meets in the rotunda. And I took my kids there not too long ago and I said, hey, you know, what do you think this rotunda is? What do you think it was built as? And you know, people think, oh, I don't know, what was it built as? Well, it was built as the library, and it's a very powerful symbol at the head of the UVA lawn. And Jefferson didn't do this casually. He designed it to have the library, the repository of knowledge at the center of the university. That was a very dramatic and very symbolic gesture on his part. And so I think that what happens at the University of Virginia does matter.
Well, I think John did a great job of reminding us that there is another side that isn't necessarily just Helen Draga's side, but there are more important, for some people, more important topics than just this one. And I didn't necessarily do a good job of being the devil's advocate there, but it is important, and I think it goes beyond just being Charlottesville and the state of Virginia, and I think decisions that can be made in the next week or so will definitely affect other parts of the United States. Again, 11:53 on the wake-up call, our guests Matt Cameron and Hawes Spencer. Let me thank The Backyard for their support. UVA Corner's Culinary Secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu open for lunch and dinner, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. Backyard open Monday through Saturday, and you're invited to the outdoor patio this summer. You can find The Backyard on Facebook. All right, guys, not much time left. It blows by. The governor's letter that came out, I believe, on Friday, Hawes, Saturday?
Friday.
Friday. And so is that meaningful in any way other than saying, make your decision, guys, because this is starting to get in my way?
I found something really interesting. The governor sent two letters Friday afternoon, and Matt knows about this because the Cavalier Daily reported on both of them, but I think most media organizations missed the fact that there were two letters. They focused on the one to the board, which said, get yourselves unified or I'll fire you all. But the letter that the governor sent to the general public was maybe betrayed too much, because what it did was it indicated, I think fairly clearly, that the governor is on the side of Helen Dragas. And here's why I'm saying that. He used terms like, he called this a war. He referred to the predictable press frenzy. And then he chose the word few, F-E-W, to describe the faculty, staff, and alumni who, quote, foment division that only adds to the troubles. Like, hey, you pesky kids, how dare you question Helen Dragas in her wisdom? The governor even said, please stop. Please stop? He's telling the alumni who are coming to Charlottesville today to please stop? Is this man in touch with what's going on among the grassroots of UVA?
Does his, many people have talked about him possibly being a candidate for vice president with Mitt Romney.
Is he's on his way to Utah right now going to meet with Mitt Romney.
Is this playing any role in his decision making on this?
Well, there's a theory that he's trying to make a point by sort of taking on the, I guess, liberal faculty at a prominent public university, and I guess standing up for sort of different ideology. I don't know if there's any truth to that. I'm not really sure what he stands to gain by having this issue drag on, because we shouldn't forget that if you know, the whole, you know, board is reappointed, or whomever is eligible, if Dragas is reappointed for, you know, another term, and then an interim president is named and Sullivan is actually forced out, then I don't think people are going to immediately stop protesting, and it's not going to be good for the governor to have to deal with that. I think he wants it to go away, and I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what his statement Friday meant, because as Hawes said, it's not a ringing endorsement of the idea that Sullivan should be reappointed. It was a very, very conservative statement, basically just saying, yeah, everybody needs to quiet down and, you know, accept whatever decision's made Tuesday.
All right, I see the phone ringing. Sean, if you have a chance, 979-0919, 1157 on the wake-up call, just a few minutes left with our guests, Haas Spencer and Matt Cameron. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Gentlemen, so Tuesday, if President Sullivan is reinstated, does she take the role? Because he won't know until July 1st if Helen Dragas is reappointed. Do you take the role if the woman who was out to can you is still there?
I have a prediction for you, Rick. If Helen Dragas is not removed from the Board of Visitors, the problem that the governor wants to go away does not go away. It will last all through the summer, and when the students come back in the fall, any mention of her name, any presence of her on grounds, any meeting of the Board of Visitors will most likely be dramatically overshadowed by distress, discord, protest, concern.
But he may not, the governor may not even be around. He may have already left in what is it, the first week of September when the Republican party meets. I mean, you know, obviously that's only a percentage idea, Matt.
I mean, I think it would make sense for the governor to do something like announce his appointments for the board Tuesday morning. Then Dragas gets to save face by not having to resign, but the governor could say she's not going to be reappointed. They could even craft some sort of, you know, nice press release about how she wants to spend more time with her real estate business or her family or something like that. And then she gets to exit stage left, and, you know, Sullivan gets to be reappointed. She'll take the job because Dragas is only going to be around for another 5 days. Everybody goes home happy, I guess. That seems like a plausible scenario. I don't know who, you know, wouldn't go for that.
Sounds
well,
plausible
there's,
to me.
We could keep going for quite a long time. Matt Cameron from Cavalier Daily website.
www.cavalierdaily.com. It's easy.
And Haas Spencer from The Hook.
ReadTheHook.com, Rick.
And if you ended up trying to read it all, you might as well take the day off from work, because it's impossible to keep up if you want to read all the commentaries as well as the news articles. But please do your best to keep both. Tremendous news coverage by these two gentlemen, their staff, and their papers. Thanks again to everyone who called in and who has their commentary. We will be podcasting this program. You're welcome to go there and make your comments as well.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news. On newsstands Thursday, The wake-up call is also supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.